Magandang gabi sa inyong lahat and welcome to the Filipino-American National News. On today's special edition of the Filipino-American National News, we are going to be playing two phenomenal interviews that we were able to record in the last couple weeks. First off, with legendary actor, writer, director, activist, Lou Diamond Phillips, who was in the Twin Cities for Twin Cities Con and a frequent guest of the Filipino-American National News, none other than Miami Heat head coach Eric Spoelstra, whose team was playing the Minnesota Timberwolves a week ago. But right now, we're going to head over to that first interview with legendary Filipino-American actor Lou Diamond Phillips.
The Filipino-American National News is proud to have finally on the show, Lou Diamond Phillips. Thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, you bet. He had to chase me down.
It's definitely.
Yeah, it's been a tough schedule. Yeah.
Tough schedule. He's here in Minnesota for the Twin Cities Con.
Yeah.
You've had such a diverse, long career. Most people that got familiar with Lou Diamond Phillips is through La Bamba.
Yeah.
How did that role change your life?
It gave me a career. I don't think I'd be here if it weren't for La Bamba. I mean, I certainly, you know, I was acting professionally at the time in Dallas, Texas. I had gotten my degree in theater from the University of Texas at Arlington. I was actually working in a place called the Film Actors Lab with a man named Adam Rourke. So I was pursuing, you know, a career in the industry. I never imagined that I'd get shot out of a cannon quite like that. You know, I thought I would continue to work to build a resume. Be a character actor really is what I thought. But then all of a sudden, you know, I land the role, the leading role, you know, in a Hollywood film, and that literally set me up, you know, to get Stand and Deliver, to get Young Guns, to, you know, which those three films in a row in Hollywood really, really set me up, you know, for having a long career.
You play these iconic roles in, as you said, La Bamba, Young Guns, Stand and Deliver.
Yeah.
You said in the panel discussion that you're basically Ambiguous Brown.
Yeah, exactly.
Character.
Yeah.
You said that for, how does it feel for you to play these roles of different authenticities through the years?
You know, when I first got into the business, I didn't think about it that much. Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden when I was in Hollywood, and especially with such, you know, for lack of a better term, groundbreaking roles, you know, for brown characters, I suddenly realized that I had a place in the industry as someone who could wave the you know, diversity flag to represent marginalized communities. And now all of a sudden, you know, the kind of characters that I was playing, you know, were the leads or, you know, the supporting leads. One thing I can say is that I'm really proud, I think, to have made a difference. I remember in the early 90s, I spoke for the first time at one of the acting schools in New York. It might have been NYU, actually. And a young Puerto Rican girl, you know, with tears in her eyes, literally said, thank you, because for the first time in her life, she had seen people who looked like her on the screen. And, you know, that has been something that I've been proud of ever since, and that obviously I continue to do. I mean, I'm not getting away from this face, you know. But in recent years, I've been able to play more Filipinos.
Yes.
You know, in Easter Sunday, you know, or even Prodigal Son. My character was Filipino. We were going to reveal that in an episode that didn't get filmed because of the pandemic, you know. But now, either in leading roles or as a director behind the scenes, as a governor of the Actors Branch of the Academy, you know, I can 100% keep that door open for other artists to come in and to, you know, get a seat at the table.
You're speaking about the representation. You got to play a character of yourself in Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
A fellow Asian.
Yeah.
Keanu's got to do that. How was that to play off of yourself?
I've done it a few times now, you know, where I'm playing Lou Diamond Phillips, and the research is really intense, I gotta say. I did it in Cougar Town, in another sitcom called You're the Worst. A cr- crazy short film called Lucy in the Sky with Diamond, and then, you know, on Easter Sunday. So always it's a very extreme version of me. You know, it's this kind of bizarre, you know, over the top version of who I really am. You know, but I mean, who I really am is, you know, kind of boring. I take out the garbage, I do the cooking, you know, I walk the dog, you know, stuff like that.
You have seen the progression of Asian American Filipinos in Hollywood. Obviously, you talked about how you rocketed to fame with those roles, and even on Miami Vice, where we really got paid the first time.
Yeah.
For you, as where was that moment when you realized that, wow, the Filipino people are coming out for you because they realize that they see themselves?
It's funny, man. I think when I, you know, went back and, you know, would go to family reunions, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they were always so proud of me. And now all of a sudden, even my own family was like, picture, let's take picture. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, it's a little crazy. Just to know that, you know, my family and by extension, you know, the Filipino community were really, really proud. I mean, that obviously means a lot, you know. And then over the years, I've continued to do things in real life, you know, that have tried to help the community. I testified, you know, before Congress on a House bill to give our Filipino war veterans their veteran status back. That had been rescinded after World War II, which was crazy, you know. Represented the Filipino Library, you know, many, many times. And for the work that I did with the veterans, actually, Gloria Macapagal Arroyo, the president at the time in 2004 in the Philippines, I went over and she gave me a wonderful, you know, presidential, you know, citation for that work. And as a result, it's interesting, I turned to the producers when I was doing Prodigal Son, and we changed the last name. I said, can we go with Arroyo? And that was my little call out to her. You know, Lieutenant Gil Arroyo was you know, basically after Gloria Macapagal Arroyo.
And the Philippine American Issues has renowned entertainer Lou Diamond Phillips on the show. Yeah. Not only are you an actor, but you've done singing. Yeah. Your first passion was writing, and now you're an author.
Yeah.
How did it feel to go back full circle and write?
I gotta say, man, I'm so loving getting back to narrative writing. You know, I've written stage plays. Burning Desire was produced at the Waterbury Theater, Seven Angels Theater in Waterbury, Connecticut. I've, you know, written a bunch of screenplays. But now that the books are out, the first one, Tinderbox Soldier of Indira, did so well and you know, was on top of the Amazon charts for a while. And my wife, Yvonne, did all of the illustrations for it. We decided to write a second one, you know. That one comes out November 19th, the Tinderbox Underground Movement. I got only a couple you know, of the hardcovers left here at the Twin Cities Con. Sold out of them, you know. Once again, it's just a different aspect of storytelling that really, really gratifies me and feeds me. And, you know, being a writer, you know, it's kind of a lonely profession. You do it by yourself. You know, you commit to it. You put in the time and the patience. And yet, once again, you know, here we go talking about creating content that will hopefully provide not only inspiration but opportunities for other people, you know, in the future. I mean, the characters, you know, are brown.
Yeah.
You know, the hero is a young brown guy. You know, hopefully, if we ever make it into a miniseries, I'll play his father. You know, but once again, just opportunities to create heroes. You know, that will give different representation.
I myself, as a father of a 7-year-old, and you have 4 daughters.
Yeah.
What advice can you give to a father that's still got some time, but teenage years are coming?
I mean, Indigo's a teenager now, and it's, let me tell you, it's, teenage girls, man. Just be yourself and, you know, give of your time. That's what it is. I mean, it's being there for them. I mean, you can't give them all the answers, but I mean, what I hope I provided is a foundation for them to use their own minds, to follow their own hearts, to be their own people. You know, I mean, that's one of the biggest things about parenting is that, you know, you're preparing them for the day when they can be on their own, you know?
And if my memory serves me right, pre-COVID, you were traveling or living mobily for a little bit?
No, we moved to New York.
Moved to New York, okay.
Yeah, it was Prodigal Son that took us to New York. And since I have five cats and a dog, you know, we drove across country, so maybe that's what you were thinking. We drove from California to New York. Took a week to do it. It was a fantastic road trip. It was really, really cool. But yeah, now I reside in New York.
And for our listeners and viewers who aren't familiar with the acting life, do you find it more difficult to act on stage or act on set?
It's a totally different thing, man. And the more I do, the more I'm discovering and stretching, you know, the talents. I mean, film and television are similar, except that in television it's a lot faster because you have less money and less time. You know, on a big motion picture, you might be doing it for months, you know, and you're on location, you know, in a distant place. I mean, like, for instance, we did the 33 in Bogota, Colombia, and also the Atacama Desert in Chile. I worked again recently with Tom Muska, who wrote and produced Stand and Deliver. Did a wonderful film that hopefully will be into some festivals next year called Aguadilla. The title might change. But he is a professor of film at Miami, and he wrote this amazing film noir that he co-directed with his son, you know. Werewolves, which is about to come out, also shot in Puerto Rico, actually. That's going to be in theaters December 6th. So, you know, it's the traveling. It's the kind of craziness of doing film work. I would love to get back on Broadway and just have that schedule for like a year. You know, when I was doing The King and I did it for 15 months. It was wonderful. You know, and that's the thing. I mean, there are different talents to each. Yes. You know, different skills you have to acquire and get good at. You know, if you're dealing with a live audience, if you're dealing with a show that starts and begins for 3 hours and, you know, runs the gamut, you know, the entire time. In television, you know, in film, you're doing it in pieces and chunks. But voiceover acting, something totally different. I'm also did the first motion capture, you know, for Call of Duty Black Ops 6. And that was a brand new experience, you know. So it's continuing to learn, to be open to, you know, whatever platform that you're doing, and to continually apply yourself, you know, and try to, you know, stay good or get better at your job.
I've heard in several interviews that some of your heroes in terms of acting have been Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, Dustin Hoffman, that they were not the Robert Redford's look of the world. You've been in the game for quite a while.
Yeah, but that's exactly right, man. Is that, you know, back when I was a teenager, you know, and saw guys like that, De Niro, Pacino, Hoffman, and realized that, you know, a swarthy guy with dark hair could be the lead in a movie, you know, and you didn't have to be, you know, Paul Newman or Robert Redford, which was, you know, sort of the Hollywood prototypical leading man, you know. I had the wonderful opportunity once to thank in person Sidney Poitier. You know, I told him, sir, you know, you changed the face of the leading man. You kicked down the door for the rest of us who were able to follow. And Sidney Poitier, in his infinite graciousness and class, said, Lou, you know, you're a leading man because you're a good actor. I was like, oh my God, thank you, Mr. Poitier.
Here in Minnesota, they have, I believe, one of the largest Asian American theater companies, Theater
Moo. What's the theater?
Theater Moo.
Oh, wow, fantastic.
Theater Moo. What advice would you give to these aspiring actors that have that similar look to you about how to keep going and how to look for roles?
Well, I mean, never quit, first of all, you know. And you're never going to get an opportunity if you're not in the game, you know. But to keep honing your craft. I mean, it's a craft. It's an art. So keep applying it, you know. But, you know, acting, writing, directing, dancing, they're all action verbs. You have to do it. So you have to put yourself in a situation where you're going to be able to continually exercise your craft, to get better at it, and to surround yourself with people who are going to support you, you know. And so, you know, look for those roles that you're absolutely right for. Look for those productions that are an easy fit. But don't just become a hyphenated actor. You know, I'm not just a Filipino actor. I'm not just an African-American actor. Be the best actor with a capital A that you can become, and force them to, as much as possible, and it's easier said than done, but force them to recognize your talent and for that to be, you know, your calling card, for that to be the standard that you set, and be so good that, you know, you expand on those roles.
Before we end our time with you, Lou, thank you for joining us this evening. Are there any dishes that you cook very well, whether it be Filipino or non-Filipino?
My daughter's, and especially Indigo's, favorite dish is adobo. I do chicken and pork adobo, it's one of my favorites. I actually do pancit as well. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be directing another episode of The Cleaning Lady, big Filipino cast. So the last time I was directing it, I made pancit for them, although I couldn't find glass noodles in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So I had to do it with, like, pad Thai noodles. It was a little different. I do both of those. And being from Texas, I'm a big griller. So, I'm big on the steaks, I'm big on the chops, that kind of stuff.
Obviously, in our Filipino culture, karaoke is big.
Huge.
Is there one or two go-to songs that Lou goes to?
A lot of times, and it's so funny because Indigo, one of the things that we've done whenever I go to deposit the money from one of these is, going to Midtown, but then going to K-Town, okay. And go to little karaoke rooms where you can have the room to yourself. So I've really expanded the repertoire. But if, I'm out and about, just with a bunch of people, it's like the 80s rock and roll, man, like Jack and Diane. Or Springsteen, or a lot of those, Bob Seger, those are kind of my go-tos.
I would love to talk to you about the 80s, but I don't know if we can talk about the 80s.
Exactly.
You've performed many places. You've been on different sets. Is there a location or place that's special to you?
Santa Fe, where we did Longmire and both the Young Guns. I mean, that's a really magical place, a really beautiful place. Quiet. So after a couple of weeks, it's like, I'm used to kind of big city living now. Strangely enough, Cape Town, South Africa, really, a spiritual place. I mean, they say places with a vortex, mm-hmm. kind of create this amazing aura. And I did two projects down there, the miniseries, The Triangle, and the shark movie Red Water, I filmed down there. So really, really loved that part of the world. But just always excited to go to different places and to experience that sort of thing. And that's one of the things that this career has given me. But it's also sort of expanded my repertoire of cooking too, because I'm always finding what the local cuisine is as well.
And two last questions. You spoke about Werewolf coming out pretty soon. What other projects can your fans look out for?
The book, the Tinderbox Underground Movement, November 19th in hardback, but also audio and Kindle. You can get that on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Werewolves is out in theaters December 6th across the country, like 2,500 theaters, which is a wonderful. Frank Grillo is the star of that. I'm in it with Katrina Law as well. A movie called Get Fast will be streaming, I think, as of November 15th. And may also come to some theaters near you. Very much of a Guy Ritchie kind of action, crazy characters. I play a character called the Cowboy, and I'm an assassin. And but just this kind of guy who just kind of pats you on the back and then he'll shoot you. It's kind of a crazy character. I'm also in Call of Duty Black Ops 6. So that just dropped like a week ago, and people have actually been on Twitter going, "Look, is that you?" It's like, yeah, that's me,
As we said earlier, you were in Easter Sunday with Joe Coy.
Yeah.
What did it mean for you to be in a movie that had a predominantly Filipino-American cast?
Well, it was huge, man. And, Joe Coy obviously wrote that role for me. He wanted me to play myself and insisted on it. There weren't going to be any changes. I mean, we had to, we had to work out some schedules and things like that to go be able to do it, but he was insistent upon it. And it meant a lot to me because, Joe has said it a bunch of times, he considers me to be the OG, the original Filipino in Hollywood. What was crazy about that particular film is that it took only 2 days to shoot it, but it was during the pandemic. I had to quarantine for 2 weeks in Vancouver in a hotel room that I couldn't leave. So it was important for me to be in it. So we all made some sacrifices to make sure it happened.
And before we let you go, Lou, as a Filipino American who's a little bit older than you, a little bit younger than you.
I was going to say,
as much as La Bamba is a big movie, I went to a school that's predominantly, when I was younger, Mexican American.
Yeah.
So the movie that we watched all the time was Stand and Deliver.
Excellent. Yeah.
And so, very impactful movie that for myself seeing you in those roles. Yeah. And full disclosure of all the phrases I love you using that I've kind of taken as my own, but I always give credit to Lou Diamond. So when it comes to Filipino Americans or Asian Americans, beige don't age.
Beige don't age. That's exactly right, brother. Yeah, his body's decomposing in my locker.
Well, we'd like to thank Lou Don Phillips for joining us here on the Filipino American National News.
Yeah, thank you, Alan.
And that was our interview with renowned actor Lou Diamond Phillips. I'd like to thank Lou for taking time during Twin Cities Con to give us the opportunity to finally speak with him. It's an interview that has definitely been on my bucket list and something you've been trying to work through over the years with his busy schedule. And so for him to give us time in between a panel discussion, autograph signing, and other things he had to do there at Twin Cities Con, we greatly appreciate our time with Lou Diamond Phillips. As we stated earlier, there is a second interview here on the Philippine American National News and is with none other than Miami Heat head coach Eric Spoelstra.
The Philippine American National News is proud to have Coach Eric Spoelstra back on the show. Coach Spoelstra, the folklore, the legend of you is that you started out as a video coordinator. What lessons did you learn early on from doing that as a job?
Oh, going all the way back, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm forever grateful for that opportunity, you know, to be able to do that for one of the legends of the game in Pat Riley. And just focusing on doing the best job I possibly could, you know, not thinking about where it was going to lead. Those were really fun years. I felt like a startup company. Because we were basically still an expansion team, and Pat was talking about, hey, championship aspirations. So there was an excitement in the building. We felt like we were a part of something special. And even though I was in the dungeon, as I say, the video room, those are some of my fondest memories in this league.
In the league right now, you have Jimmy Alapong, Pete Falicero as video coordinators or player development coaches. What advice would you give to those guys who are at the beginning parts of their NBA coaching careers?
Yeah, they're doing it already. You know, I've talked to Jimmy quite a few times. You know, we bump into each other every summer. You know, when I was doing my trips to Manila, doing the basketball clinics and everything, he was still playing. So he has not skipped any steps. I mean, he's a legend of a player. He didn't have any entitlement about that. When he came over here, he's worked in the G League, you know, he's worked in video rooms. He's just, it's been not skipping any steps. And I just think that's why he's going to be very good, you know, with the opportunities that he gets here. He's earning everything, and I'm a big fan.
You just had the Olympic experience this past summer, and you've seen different stages of Anthony Edwards' growth. What can you say that you've seen so far in Anthony Edwards?
I love Anthony Edwards. I really do. I spent two summers with him. These were life experiences, you know, competing together in the World Cup, and he was sensational there. We fell short, but he was such a dynamic player. He was our best offense player and our best defensive player. Put him on all the opposing team's biggest threats. But I love his personality. I love his competitive spirit. He just continues to get better, you know, each year. We'll show our respect tonight, you know, because you know, I'm a big fan of his, but we have a job to do here, and I know he's thinking about the same thing for them, and, you know, that's what competitors do.
And last question, Coach. You've always championed Filipino pride. Minnesota, we got Cam Bynum, and you see Cassie Cooper at ESPN. As a Filipino-American, seeing these Filipino-Americans make strides in their sports vocation, how does that make you feel?
Yeah, it's really fun. It's really fun to be part of a little bit of a movement, you know, with it. Cassie and I have talked about it as well. I'm a big fan of hers. She's a great talent with a great work ethic. And we all love this beautiful game of basketball, right? There should be more Filipinos in this game, more in the NBA, because we all want to be caretakers, you know, for this game. We feel differently about this sport than probably most places.
Thank you for your time, Coach.
All right, thank you.
And that was Miami Heat head coach Eric Spoelstra, who joined us here on the Filipino American National News. I'd like to thank the Miami Heat, especially Tim Donovan, who is the VP of Sports Media Relation, who has helped forge the opportunity for us here at the Filipino American National News to get a little bit of Coach Spoelstra's time as the Miami Heat travel to Minnesota once every year, because the Minnesota Timberwolves are in the Western Conference and the Miami Heat are in the Eastern Conference. And lately, a lot of the games have been early in November. There have been later games in the season where they've played them. But this is a relationship that we've been able to forge with the Miami Heat since 2017. So we are extremely happy that on most of those years, I believe, except for the COVID year, that we were able to speak with Coach Spoelstra for the time that he is here in the Twin Cities to play the Minnesota Timberwolves. But we are coming quite close to the end of the Filipino American National News. We do have some other interview projects that we have on the horizon. And once we get those potentially completed, we will definitely update our viewers on those interviews. But just a reminder, you're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul. And around the world at KFEI.org, non-commercial community powered radio. You can find both the interviews with actor Lou Diamond Phillips and Coach Eric Spoelstra on the KFEI app, on Google Play and Apple Store, along on KFEI.org. And by going to the Filipino American National News on Facebook, you will see the video versions of these interviews. But for right now, we're going to have to stay tuned for sound effects.
KFAI is proud to present the Band of Heathens at the Cedar Cultural Center on Friday, November 22nd.
The Band of Heathens are an American rock and roll band from Austin, Texas since 2005.
Founding members Ed Jurdy and Gordy Quist remain at the center of the band as primary songwriters and guitarists, presenting a special stripped-down show highlighting songs from the band's nearly 20-year career.
Opening this special acoustic show are Midwestern father-son duo Chris and Ari Silver.
Tickets for the Band of Heathens can be found at the Cedar Cultural Center website. Visit thecedar.org for more details. KFAI is proud to present Joanne Parker at the Dakota on Saturday, November 30th. With roots in the church and a solid foundation of musical education, Joanne Parker found her authentic voice later in life, creating her own blend of roots music that combines soul, R&B, gospel, jazz, and traditional blues styles. Joanne's most recent album, 2023's Roots, debuted at number 10 on the Billboard Blues chart. Tickets for Joanne Parker can be found at the Dakota website. Visit dakotacooks.com for more details. KFAI is proud to present Bane at Ice House on Saturday, November 23rd.
Minnesota's own singer, songwriter, and multi-instrumentalist Bane has teamed up with the Foreign Exchange Music Collective for his third full-length album, Lifetime. Bane's new work dives into the realms of folk, soul, psychedelic, and synth pop, blending introspective with sonic exploration.
Joining Bane at Ice House is Dutch producer and Foreign Exchange member Nicolay, who will also provide a special DJ set after the show.
Tickets for Bane can be found at the Ice House website. Visit icehouse.mpls.com for more details.